Hello, folks. This is Mark, the Ballpark Hunter, and you're listening to the Ballpark Hunter podcast. So I did an episode tonight by myself talking about some current features in baseball, and I didn't like how I didn't have an issue how I sounded. I was just rambling on and on and on and on and on and on, and I hated that. So I said, I'm going to do it over again. So I did 29 minutes. Now I'm doing it over again. And my topics were the new MLB jerseys and the new ballparks that are being offered in Oakland and Chicago White Sox and Kansas City. And now that I've talked about them, I think I can bring you a better episode. So I'm sorry about that. I'm also sorry about Eddie Hoops. You'll be on next week. You'll be on next week's episode. And after that, I hope I have somebody on here. I am not quite sure what that's going to look like. I may take a break. I've been doing this for 2 years. I like the podcast world, but I also like not having to worry about getting a guest, finding time for a guest. It also takes away from some of the work I do for Stadium Journey. Like, you know, go to stadiums and arenas and write about them. Takes away some of the stuff I do for my YouTube page, Ballpark Hunter, which we have close to 10 million views. Wish it was 10 million subscribers, but 10 million views. So keep checking me out on Ballpark Hunter. And if anybody who's listening, this is a good litmus test. If anybody who's listening, if you ever want to contact me, and you can contact me through Twitter or Instagram, just say, hey, I'd like to come on your show and just talk sports with you or baseball. Yeah, baseball, ballparks, you know, things of that nature. And we could get something going. Because it's nice to have guests from the baseball world, and I do have some folks lined up. Like I have one gentleman that wants to come on here and talk about Virgil Q. Wax, who was the president of the Mountain States League, and in 1954 did everything he could to operate a team or operate the league and keep it running, and unfortunately didn't happen. So, a little history dive there. So, that's what the future looks like. I have a guest next week. I hope to have a guest the week after. I don't want to have to come back on here again and do a solo show. I don't mind doing it. But if anybody wants to come on, let me know. I'd love to have conversations. You know, getting guests on here is becoming a little bit, not difficult. It's just you email somebody, they don't write back. You email again, they don't write back. Or you email somebody and they say, yes, well, I'll do it. And then you never hear back from them. And there's a couple teams that I'm specifically talking to that both said they would come on here. And I want to call you out. I want to say zoo keepers, you know, you were going to come on here. You know, prune pickers, you were going to come on here. Where are you? I'd love to talk about your team, especially the prune packer. Not the prune pickers, the prune packers. I forgot about your team name. And I'd love to have you on here. And then I have folks like the Oakland Ballers that come on here, give me a great episode, and we start talking a little bit about soccer. And then I have other gentlemen like Spencer Collins and Zach Beeson come on here. We just have some great conversations about baseball. Zach Beeson was just returning from the Caribbean World Series in Miami, and it'd be great to have him on the show to talk about that. But he comes out here all the time, but I like him. I like him coming on here. You know how like David Letterman and Johnny Carson always had like those guests that came on even when they weren't pushing anything because they were just fun to have on? That's kind of like Zach Beeson. You know, Spencer Collins is a good guest. Logan out of Fort Wayne's a great guest. He's doing that sticker collaboration where you sign up for like $6 a month and you trade stickers. So hopefully you get a ballpark Hunter sticker in your collection sometime soon. You can trade with your friends. You can put in a sticker book. You could be like my cousin Karen, who in her house in Edison, New Jersey, growing up, had like a bunch of stickers on her door. And I always asked her, what did you do with that door? Like, did you take the door with you when you moved to your first house and just keep it there on display? Because it was an impressive array of stickers. Just stickers all over the world. Stickers of any type of thing you can imagine. And that's what she had. And I also want to give a shout out to Logo. He redid the Jersey Jug Handle logo. It looks awesome. Looks amazing. So Let me take a sip of my Diet Coca-Cola. Nice. That's refreshing. I'm also doing a sleep test. I sleep with my mouth open because I had my adenoids in until I was about 13. And I just slept with my mouth open. So when I sleep, I snore. And I snore so much that my wife tells me to go sleep in the other room. And some days when I sleep with her, I go over to give her a hug and she's not there. Kind of like in high school. And so I wake up now with my throat being very sore and dried. I hate that. And then there's days where I'm sleeping and I'll just wake up in the middle of the night because I wake myself up on the snoring. So we're doing a sleep test and I may have to get one of those CPACs, which my brother has and a couple of my friends have. They swear by it. They said, you will never want to sleep without it because you'll have a beautiful night's sleep. So, you know, either that or they could just tape my mouth like this. Or this is how I sleep. And I wake up, you know, and I'm doing that for like, 20 minutes. But my mom used to snore really hard too growing up. She'd wake me up in the next room. So, my goodness, I come from a family of snorers. All right, so let's stop talking about my health issues. Oh, yeah, doctor says I can't eat any more hot, spicy food. It's making me run in the bathroom too often. So now I gotta, do a food diary. Yeah, that's what happens when you get old, folks. That's what happens when you're getting close to 50 and not 40. You make food diaries. You take a chart for your stool to see how it comes out. You time it. Good stuff. And, some of the ballparks I go to, who knows what they're putting in that food. So anyway, let's talk about some current topics and let's talk about some baseball stadiums. So right now, Salt Lake City wants to build a baseball stadium for the cost-effective total of $3.5 billion. And it will serve as an economic hub for, the west side of Salt Lake City. It looks like a beautiful facility. It's going to have green spaces, retail, residencies, and businesses on the city's west side. It's going to be nearly 100 acres of land that will be adjacent to the Jordan River and the Utah State Fair Park. And it's going to have great views of the skyline and the Wasatch Mountains. It will also be available from the interstates and the light rail system. They think this will be a great stadium to attract an expansion team or those pesky Oakland A's who may not even wind up in Las Vegas. They may just stay put in Oakland. Or what am I hearing now? If they do move, baseball will give Promise Oakland a team. Come on. This is nonsense. Just tell the owner of the Oakland A's, we'll give you a new team and we'll have somebody take over the A's. Just enough of that nonsense. Who knows? Maybe Oakland moves to Salt Lake City if this stadium gets built, but that's $3.5 billion for Salt Lake City. Do you think Salt Lake City will be a great place for a baseball team? Do you think they can support a baseball team? Would you want to play in Salt Lake City? What about the Salt Lake Bees? Would that be the new name of the baseball team? Kind of like the San Diego Padres and the LA Angels became the Major League team. Same with the Baltimore Orioles. Let me know. So Salt Lake City, they want to have a new baseball team in Major League Baseball. We'll see if that happens. We'll just see. And since we're talking about Oakland, let's not talk about the Oakland A's because I have a feeling they're going to stay in Oakland. This is just a hot mess. Let's talk about the new team in town, the Oakland Ballers. And if you had listened to my podcast a few weeks ago, you would have turned in and saw my interview with, just one second here, let me just make sure I got his name right because I get stuff mixed up, Tyler Peterson. Tyler Peterson was on the show. And one thing he did mention, he didn't want to talk about the ballpark situation because that was sort of an ongoing negotiation. It was originally stated that the team was going to play at Laney College, which has a very small ballpark, so small that it would not be sufficient for a minor league baseball team without adding a bunch of different seating options. So just today, the Oakland Ballers said that there's going to be a 1.6 yeesh, sorry about that. There's going to be a $1.6 million investment into historic Raymond D. Park on the west side of Oakland, and they are not going to be playing at Laney Park. So it's going to have 2,500 seats. It's going to transform the park into a premier venue for Oakland youth baseball and softball when the team is not playing there. And the investment comes from private funding, the team says. So it's not going to cost anybody anything, no taxpayers. And just looking at the one rendering they have, which looks a little funky here. It's got... It looks like it has aluminum seating, bleacher seating, from foul pole to foul pole. It's not going to be a wraparound. It's going to have a large, like, event area behind the grandstands. And what I am noticing are these protective netting that's going to go up. And I don't know if they're going to be different shades of colors, or if that's just how the artist presented them. There's also going to be some murals and logos and some other art at the stadium as well. So I like this idea. I thought Laney Park was going to be a little too... Laney College is going to be a little too small to play at. And when I was on the Spanish-speaking radio show, yes, I was, I said that they were going to have to build a new ballpark or heavily renovate that stadium. So it looks like this is a temporary stadium now. And if they can entertain the fans and really make an impact, you know, people will put up with that for a year or two. But they should probably start on building another venue either there or someplace else, because I don't think most people are going to want to see baseball there after a few years, unless they really kick butt there. You know, kind of looks a little bit like a, like what Midway Stadium looked like in St. Paul for many years. But eventually you're going to want to have a nice modern stadium. Raymond D. Park opened in 1910 as Bayview Park, was renamed in 1947 after Ernie Raimondi. He was a local high school graduate who played minor league baseball for the Oakland Oaks of the PCL before being killed in World War II. Kurt Flood, Frank Robinson, and Vida Pinson all attended the same high school with him and played on this field. So there's some, I mean, those are three great ball players. All three probably could be in the Hall of Fame along, you know, with Frank Robinson. So that's a nice little, that's pretty impressive, that high school having all those players come out and making it to the big leagues and making an impact. So that's the latest in Oakland for the Ballers. As for the A's, who knows? Your guess is as good as mine. It thoroughly is. All right, so let's look at Major League Baseball, and we are going to go to Kansas City, who want to move from 10 miles outside of town to downtown. And they want to, Royals want to build a new stadium, but this stadium is not going to feature the iconic chevron-shaped scoreboard that has been a fixture there since it opened in 1973. Cost of this ballpark will be $2 billion. It's going to seat 34,000 fans. It's going to be next to the T-Mobile Center. And it's going to be blocks away from the Power and Light District in what is considered the heart of Kansas City. Kansas City, are you ready for the Royals to come back downtown? Well, if you are, $1 billion in private funding will be donated, will be invested by the Royals. So, yeah, excited time for Kansas City. They just opened up the Kansas City Current North National Women's Soccer League venue. The Chiefs just won the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, we had a shooting at the parade. Thoughts and prayers to everyone. And now they have a new stadium. So, yeesh. It's, yeah, it looks like a typical modern stadium with all the bells and whistles. They have the fountains, but the scoreboard will not look exactly like it does at the current stadium. Here's an overhead picture. I don't know if this is from the south, but it's going to be within walking distance of the T-Mobile Center, which is still looking for a tenant, and it'd be bringing the Royals downtown, you know, after, you know, 51 years of playing over off in the Trubin Sports Complex with the Chiefs. I don't think the Chiefs have any plans on moving downtown. All right, so another team that is looking to build a new stadium are the Chicago White Sox. They're looking to leave. They're looking to move about 3.5 miles away from where they play on the south side to what is called, what, the 78? The 78, which is this section a lot closer to downtown, which could be the future home for the White Sox. It is a 62-acre piece of property on the South Loop. It will be a mixed-use mega development with shopping, buildings, green spaces, a connector to mass transit, and it could really transform this neighborhood or this piece of, it's not even a neighborhood, it's just a piece of green land into something really amazing. And it'll have these awesome views of the city. From, you know, in back of home plate when you watch a game. So the White Sox, they're looking, but they're also looking for this $1.7 billion of public money. They're looking to make that stadium happening. I think their lease runs out in 2029, and they could be playing there by 2030. It will be a riverfront baseball nestled between Roosevelt Road and 18th Street. It will be a catalyst for the creation of Chicago's next great neighborhood, which will be the 78th neighborhood. It will create tens of thousands of permanent and construction jobs and bring a state-of-the-art White Sox ballpark to the South Loop Riverfront, developer-related Midwest said in a statement. Traffic impact, security, quality of life of issues, pedestrian, neighborhood, concert noise. They said they have all been resolved. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I like how it looks. I'm a White Sox guy. I would like for them to be in a new stadium. I would hate for them to leave their ancestral home on the south side. It would be nice if you can just knock that stadium down and renovate it into a much modern, sleeker venue. But then you're going to have the White Sox play elsewhere for a year or two. Wrigley Field. It could be done. It could be done. I mean, the Yankees played at Shea Stadium for 2 years. It could be done. It could be done, you know. And that would make the most sense. Like, you're not going to play in Milwaukee. You're not going to play in Indianapolis. You're not going to play in Charlotte, where your AAA team is. You're going to have to play at Wrigley. But, you know, oh no, White Sox can't play there. That's not Wrigley Field. It's for the Cubs. So, yeah, they want to go there. So, White Sox, Royals, Salt Lake City, and the Oakland Ballers all in stadium talks for the today. And while I have you guys here, let me know of some other topics you'd like me to talk about, or if you happen to know some folks that want to come on here, I'm all about that. And make sure you check me out on YouTube, Ballpark Hunter, Instagram, and you can also check me out on something we call StadiumJourney.com. We have some great stuff on there. Before I go, and I won't take too much of your time, thank you for listening. I got my notes. Rack 'em. Exactly. Hold on here. I took notes today. I'll gulp the notes. I just want to talk about these new MLB jerseys because a lot of my friends, they buy hats, they buy jerseys, they have these awesome collections. You waste a lot of money on them. You know you do. I don't know what you do with it. You must have nothing in your bank account, or you must make a lot of money, or you don't have kids, you're not married, or maybe your house is paid off, which I wish my house was paid off because I'd have quite a bit of money to play around with. I will eventually pay it off, but I'll be an old man. I'll be very old. Oh, no. All right, so these new MLB jerseys, the Nike Vapor Premier, we're hearing complaints from they don't fit right. They look cheap. The colors are off. There's no chain stitching. They're just heat pressed. There's not custom colors. And when I say custom colors, is if you're a Met fan and a Cubs fan and a Dodger fan and a Royal fan, all those teams have the same color caps and colors of blue. That means that the blue is all the same. It's not specifically made for the Cubs or Dodgers or Mets or Royals. That's what I'm hearing. If you're a baseball player, the pants are not custom. So, which is weird. How can you not custom a pair of pants for a baseball player? They've been doing that since, you know, Willie Mays was playing in the 1960s. People have complained about Fanatics caps. They look generic too compared to some other caps. What else are they saying? They're saying that the names on the back look odd and they're not evenly spaced. They're too far apart. So, that's Fanatics. They are known for making jerseys at a lower cost, or AKA cost effectiveness. They have taken over the industry. If you go on, if you go on Lids.com, which when I worked for them was called Hapworld, they are in cahoots with Fanatics. You know, they're almost simultaneously. So if I want to buy a jersey, and let's say I go online, and I'm like, let's say New York Mets jersey. I want to buy a New York Mets jersey because they're the best. I like the Mets. You go to Fanatics.com. And you are told that you have 25% off the whole site. And you can buy, oh, that looks nice, this Mets sweater here. Boy, they have a lot of stuff I don't necessarily want to buy here. So, yeah, you see a lot of, you see a lot of things on here. From jerseys to caps, Fanatics has their hands on all of it. Same with MLS, NASCAR, F1. NFTs, trading cards. They're everywhere. So right now, you can buy a New York Mets Nike Home replica custom jersey for $149 plus tax, plus shipping and handling, all that good stuff. Or you can buy a Nike Home Limited jersey with nothing on it for $154. You can buy one for $199. That's a Nike Home Limited custom jersey. So it gets confusing on what type of jerseys to buy here. But if you look at the pictures, you can buy like a Jacob DeGrom jersey for $54, which to me is a steal, you know, because I think that's a guy that's going to be honored in New York after a while. So why not represent him? But I am looking at the different jerseys here, and I'm looking at the, you know, if you look at last year's jerseys compared to this year's jerseys, by the naked eye, you may not see some of the differences. So I decided to go down to my local mall today and try on these jerseys. And I tried on a White Sox jersey, and I liked the way it fit. I loved how it fit. It fit perfect. It had a little room. It stretched well. I know everything was heat-pressed, but I liked it. I didn't like the price. I didn't like paying $155 for it. So I did a little more research. These jerseys are made of 90% recycled polyester yarn. They dry 28% faster, because that's important. I need my jersey to dry 28% faster. But if I'm a baseball player, that can make a difference. And I like the stretch, 25% more stretch. Now, I'm a guy that, you know, is a little bit bigger than most baseball players. Maybe not Michael, maybe not Vogelbach. Or is his jersey available? I bought a Vogelbach jersey. So maybe I like my jersey a little loose on me and not very tight, because, you know, my body does not need to be highlighted. But, I'm looking at the, you know, I'm just, my thing with the jerseys is that I don't like how they have all the names curved. And that's the thing that stands out to me. You know, if I'm going to pay $175 for a jersey, I don't want them heat pressed. But then I'm looking at soccer jerseys. They're $130 and all that stuff's heat pressed. I'm looking at the Jet jersey. A lot of that stuff's kind of heat pressed too. I think that's the age we're in. So I didn't have a problem with how the jersey felt, but I did have a problem with how some of it looked. And that's something I would have to go and buy and try on myself before saying, oh, let me push the button on that. Now, I'm also looking at the Major League Baseball logo on the back. It looks like instead of it being pushed towards the top of the collar, it's right above the last name. So if you really want to tell this year's jerseys from last year's jersey, if the MLB logo is pushed towards the last name, that tells you that it's the new Nike Vapor. And also, the arch is really distinctive. Like, I'm looking at Pete Alonso, and I'm looking at Lindor's jersey. The Lindor jersey looks a hell of a lot better, and it's only $134. This Alonso jersey is almost $400. I don't know. I guess that's not a replica. This is confusing. Yeesh. And I'm also looking at the Francisco Lindor jersey in blue. That's only $89. Oh, that's a kid jersey. Never mind. That's a good price. Senga's from last year is $134. We have the blue DeGrom is $143. Ugh. Ugh. Should be cheaper than that. He's on the team anymore. You know. So, anyway, let me know. Have you tried on these new jerseys? Do you not like them? Like, let me know. Because I didn't think they fit bad. I thought they fit pretty well. I would buy one. I'm not, like I said, I'm not paying $134 for a damn jersey. That's too high for me. You gotta be kidding me. I would probably pay that for, like a retro jersey that's not made. It's not, you know, well-known. Like, you can't find it everywhere. It'd have to be a very special look, you know. But to buy just a regular Met jersey, let's be honest, the Met jerseys have looked the same for quite some time. You know, whether they have racing stripes down them, or whether they were button up, or whether they were pullovers, they've all looked the same. Like, I would love to buy an old-school Dave Kingman jersey. Because people would think that's awesome. Because Dave Kingman was just such a badass player during his days. So, anyway. Oh, here's a Jacob DeGrom Met jersey in black for $66. See, I would probably go with that. And I know that jersey is going to fit me, too. And I know it's going to look nice because it's not this year's jersey. So, anyway, I won't talk too much about that because we'll be here all day fussing and bussing about it. So, anyway, we're getting to the 30-minute mark. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Next week, I have Mr. Eddie Hoops. Eddie Hoops will be my guest on the Ballpark Hunter podcast. Check me out at Ballpark Hunter on YouTube, Stadium Journey, Mark Fiquez. That's where you'll find me on there. And also check out all the other articles. If you're planning to travel someplace, please check out stadiumjourney.com. We will let you know where to go and how to go and what to do around it. You want to go check out the Indiana Sycamores march their way to a regular season Missouri Valley Conference title? Check out my review. I'll let you know. I'll be there this Saturday night. You may even see me there. If I can only find the perfect Sycamore sky blue shirt to wear. So that's it, folks. Thank you guys for watching. And comment on my podcast, because sometimes I feel like I put it out there and I don't know what people think about it. So hopefully they like it. I know I like it. All right. We'll see you next time, guys. Take care.